Look, guys.
Let me make sure Millie gets over to this call. And we'll get ready to go. Okay, let me elevate to the SNS Ambassador account. Looks like Millie is not here yet, but should be here shortly. Oh, there he is. Let's get him up here. What's up, Millie? Do you hear me?
Hey Matt, hey everybody.
Right, awesome. You're now here. Great. And then who are we pulling up from
I
the
believe Josh
official
is in the
pull-up?
audience.
Josh from the Aztec side?
Yeah,
Yep. Okay, I'll pull him up
Crate
right now.
Study Threads. That's it.
Yep, pulling him up right now.
Apologies if I got that wrong, Josh. Perhaps you correct me how to pronounce it.
Josh, just a note, if you are on if you're on your computer, you're not gonna be able to get any invites to join up on the space. So yeah, you'll have to be on a mobile device of some sort. It's a weird little Twitter glitch.
Yep, that is correct. You definitely need to be on either the app or mobile. So while we're waiting for Josh, maybe I'll just get the audience, give the audience an idea of what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be discussing Aztec Network. For those of you who haven't heard of Aztec before, it is a privacy by default roll-up solution on Ethereum based on zero knowledge technology. And here's Josh. Thanks for joining us, Josh.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Good stuff. Okay, why don't we just get right into it? Why don't you give us about yourself, what it is you do with Aztec, and how you got into crypto.
Yeah, so I'm leading the developer relations team at Aztec. I joined in May, so I've been here for a little while before we launched Aztec Connect. Before working at Aztec, I was at Celo for a while. Before that, I was at Consensus, teaching devs, running the developer boot camp there. I got into crypto, was it 2017 pretty much? I was kind of looking for a career change and I had heard about Ethereum. I thought programming the world computer was like a cool, noble goal. So I started digging into development, like web development, going to like free code camp and stuff. And I just found programming really fun. So, I had Ethereum in mind as I was like learning web development. And then, yeah, the ICO boom happened. So it was like a really good time just to like get in places. Consensus was hiring like crazy, so yeah, I managed to sneak in there and haven't looked back. So
Awesome. Good stuff. Okay, why don't you give us a rundown of Aztec, like from a user perspective, like what does Aztec mean for them?
yeah, so Aztec is a recursive zero knowledge rollup on Ethereum. When you say zero knowledge, we actually mean that it's like zero knowledge, so it's privacy preserving. Not like a lot of other zero knowledge rollups that are advertised on Ethereum. So, and when I say recursive, I mean users are generating proofs on their computers that hide their transaction details, and then they send these proofs to the network, which are then rolled up by our Aztec sequencer into another zero knowledge proof. And the zero knowledge proof created by the sequencer is then published to a smart contract on Ethereum that verifies that all of the state transitions on the Aztec network are in fact correct. So what it means for users is you can, when you're transacting on the Aztec network itself, You get complete privacy. So there's no public information leaked about who the sender of a transaction is, who the recipient is, or how much you're actually sending. With Aztec Connect, which launched summer, we call it the VPN for Ethereum because it allows you to interact with essentially any smart contract on Ethereum directly from an Aztec account. And the benefits of doing this is you get anonymity with that transaction. So all that's published on Ethereum is you see that someone from Aztec is doing a transaction, an interaction with this Ethereum L1 contract, which is pretty cool because it plugs into everything that's already on Ethereum today. It does require a bridge contract. Some of these are relatively short, like less than 100 lines of code, then can get more complex. But once those are deployed, anybody that's on Aztec can just plug into existing Ethereum DeFi. So with that, you get some benefits around privacy because you're not leaking like which account is doing which action. There's also some scaling benefits there. So with Aztec Connect, if a group of us are doing similar transactions like swapping ETH for wrapped staked ETH, we want to enter like stake some of our ETH but maintain privacy while doing it, we can bundle those transactions together. And when the transaction is posted to Ethereum, all that's published to Ethereum is one action that's going from the Aztec rollup to the swap for wrapped staked ETH. And the rollup is doing internal accounting for like how much each of us are actually depositing in terms of ETH and then redistributing the appropriate amount of wrapped staked ETH back to us on the rollup. So the user is just interacting with Aztec, and there's transactions going out to Ethereum behind the scenes. And there's some scaling benefits because like, yeah, we can all split that transaction cost that goes out on Ethereum. So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. That's a great explanation. I want to touch on a couple of things that you mentioned there. So when a user batches a transaction from Aztec to layer one, to like a layer one dApp, does that mean that the transaction goes to layer one right away? Or is there a certain time that it takes for that transaction to be processed?
Yeah, that's a good question. And users actually have a choice on this. So the thinking behind this is the longer you wait for a transaction to settle on Ethereum, like the larger a batch can be because there's potentially more people that will come to the batch. So if you want the cheapest transaction, you can say, I'm willing to wait, like sometimes it's like 10 hours or something. And I'll just like, we'll get as many transactions as we can in the next 10 hours. And then it'll just like decrease your transaction cost. You also have the option of just like settling a transaction instantly. So you could say, I'm willing to pay for all the empty space that's going to go in this rollup if I pay for the rollup block to settle right now. I was actually looking at this earlier. I think entering a, like swapping ETH for wrapped staked ETH was like 70 cents if you wait like 9 hours is like the average wait time because you're bashing with a bunch of other people. If you wanted to pay immediately and like settle the rollup right now and it would like settle in 5 minutes or less, it would be like around $20-$25. So yeah, user has a choice. Like if you have a massive position that you want to get out, like you can do that immediately. Or if you're like doing smaller amounts and you want to take advantage of cheap transactions, you can do that too.
And the user doesn't sacrifice anything from a privacy side when they're doing that?
Nope. Nope.
Awesome. Okay, so the other thing I want to touch on, you mentioned a zero knowledge proof. So for our audience that may not be familiar with this concept, do you mind giving us like a brief conceptual rundown of what a ZK proof is?
Yeah, so at its most basic, it's like a technique where one person can prove to another person or computer program, just like one party can prove to another party that something is true without revealing any extra information about the statement other than the fact that it's true. So I guess this is relevant for Aztec in a couple ways. Like one of these is verifying like ownership of assets on the Aztec network. Since assets are encrypted on our network, users can't see like the balances or anything. You have to prove that you own certain notes, but you don't want to reveal information there. As well as like when we publish state updates to Ethereum, like the smart contract on Ethereum, essentially, the sequencer is publishing a proof that verifies that all of the state transitions that it's doing follow the set of rules that we have defined, that is the Aztec protocol. So we do take advantage of like the way some other rollups are just using zero knowledge proofs for their succinctness property. We're doing the same thing for batching many zero knowledge proofs together into one. but we're also taking advantage of the actual zero knowledge property where we're maintaining privacy.
Awesome, that's great. And I just noticed we got a bunch of users, listeners just joined. So I'll just give a brief summary of what we discussed so far. So basically Aztec is a privacy by default zero knowledge rollup. It allows people to users to interact from the Aztec network with L1 applications without sacrificing their privacy. And they could either take the scaling advantages that come with Aztec, which reduces costs for transacting on Ethereum by batching transactions, or they could also do it instantly themselves. And of course, the zero knowledge proof is just a way of basically proving a certain computation was done without actually having to redo all that computation, or without basically proving that something is true without having to see what it is that went into making that statement or that expression true. So I think, you know, with Aztec, we're probably going to, like, at least I'm hopeful that we probably do a few of these, maybe more in the future. And because there's just so much to dissect with Aztec, and you guys are probably constantly shipping and improving. And one thing that you guys was pretty core to Aztec recently, but I just yesterday I noticed there was an upgrade that was shipped, which made aliases optional. But before that, aliases was pretty core to how users would interact on Aztec. Do you mind giving us like a brief rundown on what aliases are and how they work within Aztec network?
Yeah. So aliases are essentially a way, like, you can register an account when you sign up for Aztec. You don't have to register an account, but there's this, like, basic public key, private key pair that designates an Aztec account. You can use that public private key pair for anything you'd want to do on Aztec, like decrypting your account balance, decrypting your transaction history, or sending transactions. But it's not ideal because the decryption key and the key for like spending notes is the same thing. So it would be really difficult to log into applications because you need to share this sensitive key that could spend your notes as well as decrypt your notes. So you have this concept of register account. When you register an account, it breaks this link between a decryption key or a viewing key, we call it, and the spending key. So when you register an account, you can add a new spending key, and then your spending key and your decryption key are different. So that means you can share your decryption key with applications that you log into, like ZK Money, or like ZK.me, and that application can now decrypt your transaction history, show your balance, and you can get like basic account information, but that application is not authorized to actually spend your funds. So they would need that spending key to then like sign transactions for you. So it breaks this link, which is really nice because also for compliance, if you need to share your transaction history with someone, you can share a viewing key with them. And they don't have like the rest of, they wouldn't be able to like take your money or anything. When you register your account and you add the spending key, you have an option to an alias. An alias is just a 20-character alphanumeric string that's just makes it more human readable. Because the identifier is just an elliptic curve public key for a regular account. So it's like Ethereum accounts are just not super user friendly. So like in our SDK, it's really easy. If you have an alias, you can just look up the corresponding public key. And they're just like on a first come first serve basis. So like if it's available, you could just claim it when you register. But then I can just basically say, oh, I want to send some ZK ETH to Millie. And it will like resolve the public key. And this was like at the protocol level, this was never like you absolutely need an alias to like access your funds or do anything on the network. It was more just the way ZK Money was, the way the onboarding flow was set up was basically like this alias was an integral piece. And it didn't actually need to be at the protocol level. So it's more of like just a front end application update, but like ZK Money is the primary interface that people are using today to access the Aztec protocol. But we have other tools, like I made a command line tool that's pretty accessible for developers, I'd say. If you're familiar with the command line, it's a really cool way to learn about how to interact with the Aztec network, like what inputs you can get. And there are people building other interfaces now. We're working with other protocols to try and get like interfaces, like people building integrations with Aztec directly in their interface instead of having everybody go through ZK Money. We want to like have a diverse ecosystem of wallets and DeFi dashboards and things like that. So this new flow just made it easier to use ZK Money, I think. So you can still add an alias. I just signed into it today, and like you can sign in without your alias and you just add it afterwards, and then you're not like blocked from any of the information like you were before.
Gotcha. And so in that example, is it fair to say that an alias is synonymous to like an ENS name?
Yeah, it's kind of the same idea. They're not really transferable or updatable or anything though. So like you can't transfer them. If your account is compromised, there's like, we have a concept of an account migration, and we actually don't have any applications that have this functionality in the user interface, but at the protocol level, there's this concept of an account migration where you could update like the public key that corresponds to an alias. So you could do that like one time if your like main account gets compromised, so you can like keep your alias. But yeah, you do that once. So it's like pretty limited, but it definitely helps just in terms of making it easier to send money to folks.
Interesting. And with a alias, so if someone knows your alias, do they automatically know the public key associated with that alias as well, or is that abstracted a bit?
They do. Like they could look it up, but that's not really going to tell you much because all of our notes on our network are encrypted. So like you can't just like look up a public key on the Explorer and then like see what's associated with that account because all of our notes are encrypted. So yes, you can look up a public key, but all it's really good for is just like sending that key funds. That's all you can do.
Right. So you can't like plug in that public key like you do like with the Regnus onto like DBank or Zapper and see all the holdings on Aztec.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. You cannot do that.
Got it. Awesome. Okay. So how would you describe Aztec like in relation to other rollups that we see like traditionally? Like where, because when we say rollups, like especially of recent, people right away think about Optimism, Arbitrum, like optimistic rollups. Or they, if, in terms of ZK rollups, they might think of either ZK Sync or Starknet, which is live in production, live right now. What would you say are like the primary differences between Aztec and these other rollups, aside from the privacy by default?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly the biggest piece is privacy. Like these other rollups are going for scaling first, and then I don't even think they're going for privacy second. Like they're just not interested in privacy. They can support privacy-focused applications, but like at the protocol level, they're not interested in that. Whereas like that's the value proposition of Aztec. Like we are privacy-focused and we get some scaling benefits as well. But I'd say like one of the biggest differences is like Aztec is using a more basic like UTXO transaction architecture, similar to how like Bitcoin does transactions. And these other rollups have more similarities to Ethereum, where they're running a full execution environment. So we see this like there's an interesting thing where all of these rollups are kind of competing for applications to redeploy to their execution environments, and then they also have incentives for to get liquidity into these execution environments that they've built, and it's kind of like a competition. Whereas with Aztec, what I was describing earlier with being like the VPN for Ethereum, and when you interact with DeFi protocols from the Aztec network, like you're actually interacting with things that are already on Ethereum L1. So like there's no redeploying protocols required. Like you're just tapping into the execution environment that most people are already using anyways. There's no liquidity fragmentation among these protocols because you're just tapping into L1 DeFi. And then with composability, like there are some DeFi products that are built on several other products that like literally can't deploy on these rollups because the underpinning like money Legos don't exist on those rollups yet. So there's like these dependency paths that there's like problems on some of these rollups that like Aztec just doesn't have. And we see a lot of protocols are deploying on Ethereum first. So, and we get access to those. So that's one big difference. A difference, like I mentioned before, is we do need to build a connector between our rollup contract and then any existing Ethereum contract, which like these other protocols don't have that concept because they're just like a completely separate execution environment. So,
awesome. Yeah. Got it. So I see a few advantages there. Like for one, mainly like as an execution layer from like you mentioned, most of these rollups, they compete with each other. And by competing, they're usually paying heavily in subsidies for a project to deploy there. Like for Optimism, for example, is doing the Optimism Foundation governance fund allocation for projects that deploy there, and they can apply for some sort of allocation to basically subsidize what they're doing or to subsidize adoption on their app, on their rollup. The same pretty much goes for like every other rollup. And Starknet basically pays like grants to projects to deploy there, and as well they also just launched a token yesterday, and that's obviously going to be used for in a similar way. We've seen it like in the past with other scaling solutions or all their ones like Polygon or Avalanche, you pay heavy subsidies to have these DeFi Ethereum main like native apps deploy there. So it seems like that's a huge advantage for Aztec, where it could just tap into all this existing liquidity, all this existing all these existing protocols. And then the other advantage I see is that basically like obviously like you just mentioned, the privacy by default, which none of these other roll-ups are aiming for. And like you mentioned, they don't even really seem to care about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of them care about it, but it's just like, yeah, it's not a priority for them. It's like really hard to do, and like you definitely make sacrifices. Like, there's trade-offs for sure. I think one of the big trade-offs with like our bridge contracts that plug into other Ethereum contracts is like we can only send so much data along with a transaction that's going to these bridge contracts, because this data needs to be proved, and like creating these proofs is expensive. Like, it just takes time on consumer hardware, and we have like expectations around what's a reasonable proving time, like a few seconds tops. So if we make it like the more data you add, the slower it gets, and then it's like a worse user experience. And you don't really have these constraints with these other designs. So yeah, it's definitely a trade-off, but we're going for the privacy first route. I think there's room for all of these different strategies. But yeah, it's cool to see like these different experiments playing out.
Definitely. Okay, let's talk about some of the projects that are integrated with Aztec right now. So the Aztec, sorry, Aztec Connect, like which projects can people plug into from Aztec network right now?
Yeah, so on ZK Money, just looking at the page right now, we have integrations with Aave, so you can like lend ETH or DAI. We have integrations with Euler, so you can lend ETH, wrap staked ETH or DAI. This is all directly from Aztec, so it's private. We have a cost average bridge, so you can go from DAI to ETH or ETH to DAI over 7 days. You just specify how much you want to do. Urine integration, Lido, so you can get wrap staked ETH, as well as Element Finance. And these are just on ZK Money. We have a couple that we have built that we don't have deployed yet. I think we have a no donation bridge that we're looking to basically get an app built around like an interface where people can donate to certain causes privately. It's actually a pretty simple bridge. We also have one of these bridges is ERC-4626 bridge. So if there are any DeFi protocols that use like the Token Vault standard 4626, you actually don't even need to write a whole new bridge for it because the interface is standardized in EIP. So it's pretty much as simple as just like adding the contract address of the Token Vault to that bridge, and then it like plugs into Aztec easily. So if you guys know of like protocols that are using the Token Vault standard, we could definitely like easily add that on the protocol level. One of the difficult things about like maintaining the only interface right now, that we're in, like we're trying to expand this, is like we don't want to be a bottleneck for developers that like or like users that want to integrate with these protocols or just like use the protocols. We want to enable these things at the protocol level and then support other people to build interfaces on top of them. Because like, yeah, ultimately Aztec is a protocol and our primary customers are developers. And like my job as developer relations is to just help developers build compelling products, services, and experiences that leverage the Aztec protocol. So yeah, if there's any app web app devs out there, like I'm happy to chat about building new interfaces, new wallets, new ways to access these tools. Something else that I'm thinking about that we don't have deployed yet is like actually getting NFT support in Aztec Connect. So we do have the capability of like people can deposit NFTs into some of these bridge contracts and then get notes on the Aztec network that represent claims on ownership of those NFTs. And then within the Aztec network, they can transfer those notes around privately. So you could like transfer ownership of the NFT and nobody would know. Think about how to do like interesting modules on top of that, where you could like do a very basic marketplace where you could just like post NFT for sale. Someone else could buy it. And like this would happen anonymously, so you don't necessarily know who's selling or buying the NFT. And then there's like potential downstream things from that of like creating proofs of ownership of an NFT on the Aztec network without revealing anything else about your account or your transaction history, or participating in governance anonymously, where you can vote on like governance proposals, but you don't necessarily know like which account is voting which way. So yeah, there's like a huge design space here that we haven't really explored yet, that we're just starting to think about. So I don't know if any of you guys think those things sound interesting, definitely send me a message and we can think about how to build this stuff, because I'd like to build it and then see where it goes, like who, if any other like DeFi protocols or NFT projects find these things interesting. And I think we can do cool things with privacy that we haven't really thought of yet.
Definitely. Like I was about to say, like, boy, do I know people that would be interested. Like I myself, like when you're going about that, like to just see a whole plethora of applications and use cases for it, especially around NFTs, like you mentioned, because like privacy for NFTs is basically non-existent. So like that is a really interesting one. And yeah, like all these different things that you could do, like you mentioned, especially like for governance voting, like shielding voting for governance using NFTs. Like with Synthetics, we actually use NFTs for certain voting aspects. And basically, like, you know, the only thing is like there's no way to shield those votes, right? If we ever needed to, there's not, or you know, we don't really have a reason to right now, but I can imagine situations where you'd want to do that. And also, like, I know UMA protocol, which relies heavily on voting, could definitely use something like that. So there's just so many different ways, things you could do with it. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm pretty excited for actually to see all that get shipped. I know that you guys mentioned on the website and a couple of also like public interviews that they're working on getting Uniswap also integrated with Aztec Connect. Any developments on that side?
Yeah, actually, there was this one technical detail we needed to enable on our back end. I think we just got it working like later last week. So I know it's actively being worked on. I don't know exactly like how long it's going to take. But I mean, like the bridge contract is written, like, I think we're just doing the testing, the sanity checks along the way, to before we actually put it on mainnet. That just reminded me, there's another bridge that's pretty sweet that I'm excited about is Liquidy. So you could basically open a trove on Liquidy and with your ETH, and get a LUSD loan out on the Liquidy side, which is cool because, I mean, stablecoins are obviously super popular, but we've stayed away from any centralized stablecoins because of there's just risk with censorship, basically. They can censor one address, being our rollup, and everybody holding that centralized stablecoin on Aztec would be wrecked. So we've stuck with only DAI support, but getting LUSD support on Aztec as well could be make it much more compelling for just like payments and things like that. I think private payroll and use cases around that becomes it makes using blockchains for actual payroll much more attractive. I know people kind of have to like bend over backwards to do good wallet hygiene with when receiving a salary on Ethereum mainnet. So we can hopefully make it a lot easier for people.
Got it, definitely. Matt, do you have a question? You
want to jump in? No, I was just going to say, it really just seems like there's like such endless use cases for things like this, and it really hasn't been properly explored on Ethereum. And we've all just, you know, everyone's just been building like, you know, very interesting DeFi applications, but the privacy side of it is has really gotten lost, and you're totally right. When it comes to like the wallet hygiene items, yeah, I don't think anyone really does that well. And I mean, I guess you can really only do it well, like if you have like a centralized exchange in between or something like that. But like even payroll, governance voting, like these just seem like really amazing places for Aztec to shine outside of, you know, what Aztec already does. Just amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how comfortable we've gotten with just doing all this stuff in public. Because like even just using Web2 apps and stuff, I mean, you assume privacy in so many places and you just don't on public blockchains. And I guess people are fine with it, or it's just like, I guess that's the price you pay for just using them. But yeah, like there's definitely a whole bunch of new stuff we can build when privacy is assumed. And it's maybe not even like technically very different, but just in terms of user behaviors that it supports. I just think about like participating in like token-based voting when people know who's holding which tokens. It's like just coercion seems so like, it's just so obvious that that would happen. I don't know, like Doing it privately just makes so much more sense. I think a lot of people understand that, but it's just like it hasn't been really been technically possible.
You know, it's one of those like things that it has its pros and cons, right? Like being able to see who's beholden to who and how they're voting is great and all. But on the other side of it, like, you know, if you do properly want people to be able to vote their own true beliefs instead of just, you know, putting on a little bit of a song and dance, then you kind of want them to be able to vote privately.
Yeah, like when I'm delegating my votes to somebody, I want to know how my delegate, but like I didn't publish my votes for the like US midterms anywhere. Like I talked with my family about it, but like I didn't want that to be public. I think people would vote differently if they knew their votes were going to be public. So yeah, there's definitely like a time and place for each style. But we don't even have the option of private on Ethereum right now, so
And I mean, and that's even very similar to payroll, right? Like if we're trying to transition a lot of people into like Web3 apps and such, you're not going to tell them like, hey, yeah, like you can do all this these financial items on Web3, but we're going to see everything you buy and everything that you invest in and everything that you do. Like that's not a good pitch to people to come into Web3. Like it really isn't. You know, and even just seeing who they donate to and seeing all these other things, like that's just not ideal. So, you know, Aztec really solves such a core problem in DeFi and crypto.
So right now, currently, you guys support ETH and DAI and stake the ETH. So what is the onboarding for new tokens like? I know you guys like make a conscious decision, a very good one in my opinion, to avoid like highly centralized or stable coins and stuff. But in terms of just general tokens, like for example, like if you integrate Uniswap, like what would be the flow to like onboard like new tokens for to enable people to trade those or purchase those or vote with those eventually?
Yeah, so when I say we would support stake ETH, I mean that you can get stake ETH once you have ETH in Aztec. In terms of depositing assets into the Aztec network, we only support ETH and DAI. And the thinking behind that is like the way you get privacy when you're using Aztec is you're essentially hiding in a crowd of people. You're hiding in the crowd of all the other people that have also deposited those assets. So we want that crowd to be as large as possible. If people are only depositing ETH and DAI, like those are going to be pretty large crowds. If we allow people to deposit whatever tokens they want, like there will certainly be people that are depositing tokens where they're the only depositor, and then they may think they're getting privacy when they're getting no privacy because you can just see on Ethereum mainnet, oh, one account deposited this one token. Like wherever, whenever that token is used, I know who's using it. The cool thing about getting swaps on Aztec is like, we can enable people getting other tokens from within the rollup. So essentially, someone deposits ETH into Aztec, and then when they swap that ETH for another token, all that's being shown on Ethereum L1 is someone from Aztec is swapping ETH for this other asset, and you can't infer who on Aztec is doing that. So now this other asset is living on Aztec, but we have no idea who actually controls it. If they withdraw it to a public Ethereum address later on, like we can infer that, like, I mean, maybe that person did it, or maybe that asset got traded around before it was withdrawn by that account. We don't really know. But like, if we have people deposit ETH and then swap for other assets from within Aztec, we maintain that really good privacy set where people are still hiding in that massive crowd of ETH depositors or DAI depositors. I'm not totally sure which asset pairs we're going to support on Uniswap initially. There are some of the downsides of doing trading on Uniswap from Aztec directly are just the time it takes to execute a trade. So you have to like set much wider thresholds for like what prices you're willing to accept, because even if you settle a transaction instantly, it's going to take several minutes at least for that to settle on Ethereum L1, and the price of a Uniswap token pair could change in that time. We've been exploring with other teams about like additional dollar cost averaging bridges where like this slippage concern isn't as high because you're basically, yeah, your dollar cost averaging over a longer time. So you're like, I fully expect the price to change over the next week, and I'm just going to take whatever the price is over the next week. But this enables even like longer tail assets to get into Aztec potentially, like potentially governance tokens. And then if you get governance to if you acquire governance tokens anonymously from Aztec, then you can participate in governance of those protocols if that governance bridge is built. And then there's people voting on real governance proposals that will settle on Ethereum, and you don't even know who, like, where those tokens came from necessarily. You have no transaction history on those tokens, so it's like truly private participation in those governance. decision. So yeah, these are like ideas, like we're working with people to try and like make this happen. But like, yeah, I think these are some interesting things that we could build.
Got it. So you're really trying to strike a balance between maintaining a proper anonymity set and enabling the right sort of execution environment, UX for a user, so that it's not something they don't get something either unexpected happening or just get really bad execution.
Got it. And to be frank, like understanding the way that privacy is maintained, like in our network, is it's not trivial. Like it's hard to understand. Like we see people using Aztec in ways where like they're actually not getting any privacy, like people just depositing tokens into Aztec and like waiting a day and then just like withdrawing them out. Like there's definitely like education that we have to do in terms of like how to use Aztec properly to actually maintain privacy. And a lot of what we can do is just like building user experiences that facilitate privacy. So yeah, this kind of like falls in that category.
Got it. So basically what you're saying is like the more people did like put deposit like a really random like number of ETH, let's say 3.69 ETH, and then they withdraw exactly 3.69 ETH minus the gas, let's say 3.68 ETH, like literally like several hours later on the next batch transaction, then it'll be pretty obvious, like someone could like deduce that there's a high likelihood that that's the same wallet doing that same transaction type of thing is what you're getting at.
Yeah, especially like people will deposit from an account and then literally withdraw to the same account later. And it's like, yeah, that's not ideal.
Do you like on that, do you guys have like built in UI, like flags telling people like, hey, you know, you might not want to do that. Like that doesn't achieve your intended goal, or is it just kind of user to learn these things?
We totally do that on ZK Money. And I actually think it's pretty cool. Yeah, it'll kind of like tell you what your privacy set is in certain situations. And like, even if you're like just using an account, if you've used a different number of accounts to deposit assets into Aztec, and then like later you like merge them together, so it's a different amount, and then you withdraw to just like one of them, like as ZK Money will still tell you like, hey, look, you've used this account with Aztec before, like don't do that because it's bad for privacy. So we definitely nudge people, but like, people don't read a lot of stuff. They just assume a lot. So it's a hard thing to manage for sure. And like, as people build more interfaces, like I think this will be, yeah, it won't always be the case. Like you don't have to use ZK Money to interact with Aztec. So yeah, not all of the interfaces will have these good education resources along the way too.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's kind of educating users too that like basically, I think some people use hardware wallets, and with hardware wallets, generating a new key is not as straightforward as with like MetaMask, where you just add a new address. And I think like just, you know, these simple things, maybe educating people like on how they, you know, take advantage of their seed phrase on with their private key with their hardware wallet to generate more private keys. These kind of things probably go a long way too for like the average user that might not be very experienced. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was going to say like, is there any data that you guys can walk through in terms of like the number of, you know, users that have interacted with Aztec and ZK Money as a whole? I'm just kind of curious on like what kind of reach has kind of been there thus far. I don't know if you have any transaction numbers or anything along those lines.
But you can look if you just go to like Etherscan, and if you just search for like Aztec colon space connect, like that's the name of our contract. Oh, did it not show up?
Aztec. I've actually done that myself a couple of times. Just like, when I went to go with it, I checked it out. And I saw that there was, I was actually impressed by how much usage there is. Like every basically batch that comes through, there's several transactions in it. There's never like a rolled up batch that comes through that's like, you know, half empty or like not many transactions in it. Like quite often they're all filled. So I was pretty impressed with like how much usage there in and out, which actually just increases the anonymity set. And yeah, so like I would other things I did, I would like watch to see like what deposits went in and what amounts people would withdraw. And I would try to like withdraw an amount that is very commonly used with like that a lot of people withdraw like similarly, so that it's less detectable. Like I tried these things that, yeah, you could like if you wait like one whole round, you could just look at and see like what are the amounts that people withdraw commonly and just withdraw the same like sort of amount. And then the other like really good benefit I noticed is like you could deposit several times. From like multiple wallets, or you could, you know, deposit from one wallet and then withdraw to transfer that around within us to multiple wallets and like just, you know, withdraw it to like multiple different wallets, or like however you want to, because once it's on Aztec, it's there like permanently. I think a lot of people were used to like how Tornado Cash used to do it, where like you could only like do set amounts, and like once you deposit a set amount, really move that around anymore. You can only just withdraw it. So like I just feel like that's a lot more nifty in what the things you could do with it, and a lot more flexible too.
Yeah, the privacy set is way better for that reason as well. Because like with Tornado, you're stuck in the deposit amount that you selected initially, and then like your that's only as good as that specific amount. Whereas Aztec, you can deposit 0.12345 ETH and do like to send that money around to other people, and then like deposit a fraction or withdraw a fraction of that, or somebody else could send you money and you withdraw more than that. So your privacy set is the set of everybody that's deposited ETH, not everybody that's deposited ETH the same amount as you. I just want to say like real quick on metrics, like you can look at our block explorer and you can see like the number of transactions and how frequently our rollup blocks are settling. Kind of a annoying URL right now, but like if you go to aztec-connect-prod-explorer.aztec.network, that's like the real-time mainnet rollup. And we've had like, yeah, block just published 5 minutes ago with 36 transactions, an hour ago with 86 transactions, 2 hours ago with
Josh,
45.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know how I got that one on the first try when you said it. I thought I was definitely gonna mess up pulling up the Block Explorer as you laid it out. But yeah, no, this is fantastic. And then even looking at Etherscan directly, there's about 98,000 transactions that have interacted with Aztec in some way. You know, whether that's processing the rollups, depositing pending, so on and so forth. But wow, oh,
So like
this is
if
great.
you go to the Explorer and you click on one of these two, you can see like if you scroll down a little bit, there's like different types of transactions where you have like deposit transactions where like you can actually see the Ethereum account that did the deposit and the amount. There's account transactions, which is like earlier when I mentioned like registering an account, and account transactions like creating a new account, it's what that registration step. There's withdraws where you're withdrawing from the rollup to an Ethereum account. And then there's like these in some blocks, there's like a DeFi interaction transaction. And those are like the bridge or DeFi deposits is what it's called. And those tell you like which DeFi protocol is being interacted with, how much ETH or whatever asset is going into that protocol. But like beyond that, like you just see a bunch of encrypted data. So like you see some nullifiers, some data entries, and then like proof data, which is just like all this encoded data. Some of it's used for like recreating the Aztec state. So like somebody else could run a sequencer, and some of it's just related to doing transfers, and then like the nullifiers nullify old nodes that allow you to transfer. So a lot of this data is encrypted. If you just look at basic sends, like there's no real discernible information from a send transaction because all of the information in that transaction is encrypted. Or it's just data that's encoded in a way that's necessary for the rollup contract to verify it on Ethereum.
Awesome. So you, all this that, like all this stuff that we talked about, like so many different various ways that people could, build on top of Aztec seems kind of limitless. But is there any kind of like, are there any limitations that you see the use of Aztec, like in terms of integrator that might not be possible or might not be doable in the near future? Something that comes to mind for me is like interacting with like off-chain APIs, like with like a 1-inch like swap or something. Like, are those sort of limiting factors currently?
It can be difficult. Like there's just different design patterns for things like that, where like these bridge contracts are just Solidity contracts that live on Ethereum L1. So like if you need to get API data from an Oracle, like you can get that into a bridge contract, but you're not going to be able to get that into the Aztec network itself. You actually couldn't do anything with that data on the Aztec network because like we don't have smart contracts or like real execution on the Aztec network itself. It's just basically transaction sends. But if you're doing like some DeFi interaction or some other interaction on Ethereum L1 that depends on Oracle data, you could pull that right into a bridge contract. One of the limitations, I mentioned this earlier, with bridge contracts is just the amount of data that you can send to a bridge contract from an Aztec account. So like going from the L2 to the L1, it's limited to like 64 bits of data that a user can specify on input. Which is pretty restrictive because you can't even add like an Ethereum address is like 160 bits. So you can't even specify like an Ethereum address in that amount of data. But there are like different design patterns that you can use to get that information into a bridge contract where like some transactions may need to happen on ETH L1 to like prepare a transaction before it's actually triggered from the Aztec account on the L2. So like, it's just like a different way that you have to think about how data is flowing through the system, but like, and then like which parts are necessary, like necessarily have to come from Aztec to maintain privacy, because there are definitely ways where you could like stage some data from ETH L1 from an ETH account. And by doing that, you're kind of like doxing yourself, depending on how you do it, because you're doing that transaction on Ethereum. So there are ways you can like incentivize other like bots to like trigger L1 transactions. Like if you put a little incentive on like the posting of some data in an L1 contract, like anybody could call it and just like claim that incentive. But yeah, it really depends on what you're building there. And like, there are definitely some limitations there in terms of what you can do. But yeah, we're exploring really what's possible. So.
Got it. And so if a project wanted to integrate with Aztec right now, like how would they go about that? First, they would probably obviously reach out to you, but aside from that.
Yeah, the docs is a really good place to start. That goes over a lot of like the higher level details of how Aztec works. We recently added like the technical specification there, so you can get really low level into the cryptography and the circuit building if you want. And then there's like a lot of good resources for actually writing these bridge contracts. We have a GitHub repository, Aztec Connect Bridges, in our protocol, Aztec Protocol GitHub organization, that has a very extensive README that includes a lot of these details on like templates, examples. All of our live bridges are public and open source there, so you can use those for reference. They include like deployment scripts, testing scripts, all this stuff. We also have a grants program. So like if any of this sounds compelling to you, like, or you want to work on this, we have grants program. If you go to aztec.network/grants, you can get more information. There's a place to apply there. We also have like a list of ideas that we're looking, that we think would be interesting to build, whether it's just like applications like wallets, or new bridge contracts, or different use cases. I guess I do want to touch on our Noir programming language. The Aztec network currently isn't using this, but it's will be a significant part of like our future network plans. Noir is like, it's a programming language that makes writing zero knowledge proofs in circuits much easier. I say the most common language right now is CIRCOM. There's still some pretty low level details with writing CIRCOM circuits, like constraint management stuff that Noir just abstracts away. So it's meant to be a higher level language that makes it easier and more approachable for writing zero knowledge proofs. So we have some grants around Noir, like some primitives that we're still looking to build out, our team's working on, but we'd love help with. Like our Noir programming language is not specific to the Aztec network or even blockchains. Like you could build a killer Web2 application using Noir proofs. Just like a good way to write zero knowledge proofs. I think there will be some pretty compelling unicorn companies that are built in the next 5 to 10 years that are just building cool stuff on zero knowledge proofs that we literally couldn't build before. So Noir is a tool that will be relevant for probably the full stack web developers in the future, not just blockchain developers.
Interesting. And this is like a privacy by default sort of language, or am I misunderstanding it?
It's just for writing zero knowledge proofs. So you can write proofs that aren't zero knowledge, like ZK Sync is doing a lot of stuff where they're just using the succinctness properties of zero knowledge proofs. You could build something similar to like the circuits that ZK Sync is using, I would imagine. I haven't seen their circuits, but you could build something similar with Noir. Or you could go like full zero knowledge and just like have a bunch of privacy preserving computation in your Noir circuits. So like, yeah, anything that like CIRCOM is relevant for, like Noir will be relevant for as well.
Got it. That's really interesting. I mean, I have a lot of, especially after this call, I have a lot of faith in what Aztec is going to do. So like, I'm really excited to see what comes of it. So I think we basically ran through most of my questions. We touched on everything I want to ask. We have some community questions now that I want to get to, questions submitted by our community in the lead up to this call. The first one is, so they noticed that when they log on to ZK Money, there's a cookies tracker. What sort of tracking happens from the UI level, and does it affect the user's privacy?
I actually don't know. I haven't worked on the web app. I'm not sure what information they're tracking. I would imagine it's along the lines of error messages. One of the difficult things I've noticed from a developer experience perspective is like building in a privacy preserving environment like makes it really hard to like debug stuff because you don't have access to a lot of the information that you otherwise would. Like even in the Block Explorer, you can't see what's going on. So I would imagine there's some stuff being collected just to make it better for folks that are having issues with bugs to figure out what's actually going on so we can like improve the product. As far as tracking people, like I do maintain the doc site, and like I brought this up about like, oh, we could like track page usage in the docs so we know people find interesting in our docs and stuff. And people are like generally like, oh no, don't do that. Like we don't want to be collecting information that we don't need and like we don't actually need that. And I was like, totally fair, I get it. We definitely have the attitude, like we're very privacy focused internally too, and all the products we're building. So I don't have a good answer for that question specifically, but yeah.
Got it. Okay, the next community question is around the IP specific cap. They're asking, how do you enforce IP cap, and does it keep track of the user's IP address over within like Aztec internally?
Yeah, so we don't keep it longer than we need to, just like enforce the limits. This was implemented in the wake of the OFAC sanctions. We're basically implementing like practical deterrence in terms of trying to prevent people laundering money through the Aztec network. So just like making it difficult to move like very large amounts of money, like amounts of money that average users are not dealing with. Just making it difficult for that to go through Aztec because we'll ultimately provide a better user experience. I mean, if we get sanctioned or something, like that's going to be a bad UX for everybody. So like maintaining compliance, and like that's kind of like one of our practical deterrent steps for being proactive on this front.
Got it. And so the answer to that is that the IP address is not stored publicly for like just everyone to see. So it's like just like a zero knowledge proof. It's encrypted and it's used only on for you say 24 hours or?
It's not. I don't know how long it's stored. To be honest, it's not public ever. It's not like wrapped in a zero knowledge proof or anything. It's like literally our backend service that like when you encrypt your transactions and you send them to our backend, it knows where that transaction is coming from. And if it just gets tons of them, then it like limits it. So it's only our backend service that ever gets that information. It's not like we don't save it.
Got it. So if there were like in the future, if there were to be other like people running Aztec services or sequencers, like they would not have access to this. This is only Aztec network like team that would have this.
Well, no, Aztec team wouldn't. Like whoever's running these backend services, like when we decentralize our sequencers, if they choose to collect that information, then yeah, they would have it. Like you'd be giving it to them. It's just like within Fura today. Like if you're using a node service provider with any Ethereum wallet, like you are exposing your IP address to them. And there's not much that we can do with that. That's like off-chain stuff that we couldn't really control, but like there needs to be communication between like a client and a server. So in some sense, like if you want to protect your IP, like there's solutions for that. Like you can use a VPN.
Got it.
Yeah.
Awesome. What was the next question? It's around the deposit cap. So there's currently a deposit cap of like network wide. So what would happen if like that cap gets reached? Does that mean just deposits will not be able to happen until people start withdrawing?
I'm fairly certain it's time based. So it's like a deposit cap over a certain amount of time. Then the time, I'm pretty sure it's like a daily limit. I don't think there's like a hard cap. Wait till the next day.
It says 24 hour period on the deposit caps. Got it. Yep. And it's a daily cap of 1,000 ETH or 1,000 DAI.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with like the IP rate limiting too, is like, it's just a practical deterrence for compliance. Like just making it really difficult to move like large amounts of money through Aztec.
Definitely. Yeah. You know what? I kind of think like, realistically, like if Tornado Cash had something simpler like that as well, it probably would have avoided sanctions, right? Like Tornado Cash, like maybe was Definitely not like as interactive as Aztec. Like you can't do the same things that you can do with Aztec. Aztec definitely looks like it has like a whole world of opportunities like that you could leverage. But I feel like, you know, Tornado Cash probably would have had like a different fate if they had some of these like restrictions. Like if they didn't have multi-billion dollar anonymity sets, probably, you know, things would have maybe played out differently. You know, I was a big fan of Tornado Cash. I was like really sad to see what happened. I think they're like probably one of the most purest of DeFi protocols, like purely, you know, like in line with what DeFi is supposed to be. But you know, it is a little bit unfortunate, and I kind of feel like, you know, if they had some of these like restrictions, that if they probably would have a different fate, right? Like even if it was just like hundreds of million, like even if it was just like 100 million cap, like I think things would have maybe turned out differently.
Well, also with Tornado, like there was one thing you could do with it, and that was like anonymize transfers, right? With Aztec, we have like many more use cases, which I think is compelling. Just for like, yeah, we're not just like a mixing service. We're actually like primarily like people are using it for DeFi. We have like NFT support that we're thinking about and like private governance. Like none of these use cases were possible, even like, yeah, possible with Tornado. So like just having these other things. Just like makes it has much more utility beyond just like the one like potentially
The one potential use case, yeah, definitely, for sure. And you know, one other thing, like, basically, don't finish with the community questions, but I need that. Like, in retrospect, FTX was like the only exchange to come out in like light of this whole like tornado thing, and out of nowhere, just like freeze accounts that had interactions with Aztec, and then we find out like, you know, FTX is like the most criminal of organizations that, you know, crypto has seen in a long time, and they had the audacity to come and like freeze accounts, you know, interactions with Aztec network, even though like they're probably funneling those funds out like the moment it lands on their exchange. So I just find that a little bit ironic.
Totally. Yeah.
And the point is, you know, like how close, like, you know, their founder was with like regulators and stuff, and like, you know, they turn around and they freeze accounts that had like interactions with Aztec. Meanwhile, they're like siphoning billions of dollars of users' deposits out. Like the irony there to me is just hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not funny. Like the situation's not funny. Like I definitely feel for everyone who's affected, but just the audacity of them is something else.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, Josh, this was awesome. I gotta thank you for coming on. I will say I would probably extend another invitation to you to come back later on. Like I'm sure, like, you know, you guys are developing and shipping so quickly. There's probably gonna be new features in the future that we could discuss. We could talk about. I'd love to have you back on here again sometime in the future.
Yeah, sounds good. Let me know. Let's do it.
Awesome. Awesome. I know Matt is having some technical difficulties. He DM'd me, said that he cannot hear the space at times and he's breaking out. So he might not jump back on to say goodbye, but I will on his behalf. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to the audience, everyone, for coming. We'll see you next week for another Smart Space. Thanks, everybody.